Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 10th day of August, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call, and this is pretty much the week where the truly insane openly started coming after the rest of us. And I'm not just talking about the nutcases with their manifestos and the nutcases running for president. And one thing's for sure, if all else fails, it's terror time. And you can certainly count on the true bigots to call everybody else some kind of a racist. And this was the week where literally everything we've been expecting as we lurch towards civil war finally came to a boil. So let's pick up the story again chronologically. Over the last few weeks, we've watched not only the breakdown, but the utter humiliation of the Russia, Russia, Russia coup attempt and the Mueller witch hunt. He even embarrassed himself before Congress, looking like a senile old man. Maybe that was part of the ruse to keep him from being prosecuted for the evil he'd been perpetrating for about 2 years. Last week, more and more and more just kept seeping out of the ooze about the evil Hormeister Comey's hand and the whole stinking fetid mess. More smoking guns, this time with actual documentation indicating that, yeah, there was a perfectly good reason why he let Hitler off the hook. They're doing the same thing for him. He didn't have intent to commit treason, don't you know? So that must make it okay. And the trouble is, evidently they didn't bleach bit and smash all of the offending disk drives with the damning documentation into oblivion. And on top of that, who has the FBI declared to be the real terrorist? Those who know that they, in fact, are terrorists. Especially if they think Hitler was let off the hook and might have been involved in anything untoward. Reports John Brown for the much-banned InfoWars, and now you know why, an FBI bulletin dated 30 May 2019 identifies, quote, conspiracy theory-driven domestic extremists, not them, as the real threat. And it says, quote, the FBI assesses these conspiracy theories very likely will emerge, especially as they keep doing what they're doing. They'll spread and they'll evolve in the modern information marketplace, occasionally driving both groups and individual extremists to carry out criminal or violent acts, unquote, says the document. But the New York Post adds the following. The Bureau said another factor driving the mounting threat is the, quote, uncovering of real conspiracies or cover-ups involving illegal, harmful, or unconstitutional, who could have thought it, activities by government officials or leading political figures. I guess you could put an exclamation point there right before the unquote. So put a mark on the chalkboard for this one. Almost like they knew what was coming, over a month ago, the FBI started warning about domestic terrorists, and that evidently means anybody with half a brain to see through their lies, who aren't buying the official narrative and realize what the genuine threat is. And no, as the FBI whoremeister now, Chris Wray, points out, Antifa isn't a real threat. It's just an ideology. Don't worry your pretty little heads about that. Oh, and let's not forget, there's Jeffrey Epstein, the Lolita Express, and the child sex slavery that seems to tie all of this stinking mass together. From blackmail and bribery to, of course, treason. And to top it all off, last weekend the president announced he was going to nominate GOP Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe, who famously tore Mueller a new one at the hearings and demonstrated he wasn't being fooled by any of the criminal cover-up going on here, to replace the outgoing scumbag Dan Coats at the DNI, which evidently stood for Department of No Integrity, but in fact supposedly coordinated all of the criminally inept or downright evil so-called intelligence agencies. And they're continuing stonewalling. FBI, CIA, NSA, and about a dozen or so other TLAs. Some of us suspected that while he might end up being stonewalled himself, at least Ratcliffe was a step in the right direction and could indicate something really might be going to happen. Which, of course, is exactly what happened, only in the direction we've come so disgustingly to expect. Ratcliffe announced over the weekend that he was withdrawing his nomination to, quote, avoid months of slander and libel from the fake news media. And on Friday afternoon, the president concurred and announced that he was withdrawing his nomination of John Ratcliffe to be the next director of National Intelligence. Looks like he'll continue to fight the communists from Congress instead. But no doubt about it, folks, when it came to a really busy weekend, this one started the major raising of eyebrows. Now, first off, no doubt about it, no one can blame the guy for not wanting to be given the circus treatment by the goons in Congress. Questions like, when did you quit beating your wife, are old school stuff. Nowadays, you do have to ask. Did they threaten somebody in his family with Arkanside? Did his name suddenly appear on the Lolita Express manifest, true or not? Or did he just decide he didn't want to deal with 3 months of being Bork and Kavanaugh'd? Especially since the rhinos and never-Trumpers, allegedly on the Republican side of the aisle, can't be trusted anyway. Many of them, no doubt, really did ride the Lolita Express to Pedophile Island, and somebody in the FBI probably still has videos to prove it. Oh, and by the way, when it's all said and done, if you see the deep state's pick, exemplified by the likes of Adam Schiffless, and that means number two at DNI, Sue Gordon, come to the fore, we'll all know the fix is in. So with so much deep state desperation, so much being revealed that was once covered up, and so much still needing to happen in order to bring about Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, beginning with the disarmament of the American people, now that Gulag and Two Facebook have pretty well accomplished their mission of silencing much of the alternative press, what else would you expect to happen? Hey, I know, how about a plague of SSRI-laced blood? And where better? In the usual gun-free killing zones. You probably can't have turned on a TV or radio over the weekend without having already heard about El Paso, and then bang, bang, right on schedule and pun intended, Ohio, followed almost like they already had it prepped and ready to go, the usual lone gunman narrative, and then the unending left-stream diatribe about the hair of the dog response. More of the same. Yeah, gun control hasn't worked anywhere so far, so let's mandate it. We need national red flag laws. Get rid of what's left of private property. Hey, there's a Bolshevik revolution coming anyway. And let's do what Hitler, Mao, and Stalin all did. Surely people have been dumbed down enough by now to believe it really will be different this time, somehow. There are, of course, the usual holes in the official narrative. For example, you probably didn't hear too much about the continued carnage in gun-free Chicago, the epitome of what the leftists are trying to bring to the rest of America, where 40-plus people were shot over the weekend, and that number was up in the 50s before the Dayton, Ohio narrative fell apart. But that gets ignored, because it's not really news in the gun-free Mecca of Chicago, and besides, it really doesn't fit the narrative. And if the narrative doesn't fit the narrative, you have to lie about it. And that went into overdrive as the week progressed. Well, let's start with the official narrative, and then we'll get to the truth in a second. Or at least some of the things that we're also not supposed to know. On Saturday, a lone gunman, who turns out not to have been that alone anyway, entered an El Paso, Texas Walmart, killing 20 people and wounding 26 others with a soon-to-be-banned assault weapon, and less than 24 hours later, there was yet another mass shooting in a gun-free killing zone, where 9 people were killed and 26 more injured in Dayton, Ohio, near a popular downtown watering hole area, where a lot of wannabe mass murderers might have presumed much of the crowd would therefore be gun-free and therefore not able to shoot back. But in this case, oops, there were armed officers very nearby who were able to put an end to the situation, killing the suspect in less than a minute. Which leads, of course, to the slightly modified narrative. Had not police responded so quickly, hundreds of people in the Oregon district of Dayton could be dead today. Not, you'll notice, had any number of people in the area been armed in either of these mass shooting events, a whole lot of people would be alive today that aren't. Because in spite of the occasional, if you will, lucky coincidence, the truth remains. When seconds count, police are only minutes away. Maybe. Meanwhile, the real stinkeroo was the first false flag, because it has all of the earmarks there in El Paso, Texas. And by now, folks, if you haven't seen this enough times that your radar automatically turns on when you see yet another mass killing in a gun-free killing zone, you need to pay attention to the early warning signs, things that are reported right after the incident that rapidly and not amazingly disappear. And not surprisingly, you won't be able to hear about them via a Gulag search or two Facebook post. Mike Adams did yeoman's work. A piece that he did last Sunday afternoon came out with the obvious 5 simple questions that blow apart the official fake news narrative, says the headline, about the El Paso Walmart gun-free killing zone mass murders. No, you probably won't find the piece by searching via Gulag, but you will if you go directly to his website, naturalnews.com, while it's still up. Yes, he begins, it's largely fabricated, even though the evidence was real and people were really shot and killed. As you know by now, they're more than willing to kill real people to get real Third Reich-style gun confiscation in place. The narrative, says Adams, surrounding the tragedy is almost entirely fiction. 5 huge questions are screaming out for real answers. No, you won't hear the questions or the answers on CNN, so here we go. If there was allegedly only one shooter, why did so many eyewitnesses, and I've heard several video reports from different sources and different people claiming to have seen multiple shooters at the scene? The consensus, by the way, seems to be at least three, maybe four. And let's remember, folks, that wouldn't include spotters and handlers. And that's a big one, folks, for reasons we'll come back to in a minute. And yes, related, number two, why did the local police arrest and hold three suspects in custody, as was widely reported by the media, before the story was changed to the, say it with me, folks, usual lone gunman? Number three, why does the so-called manifesto from the so-called lone gunman appear to be written by someone different and far older, more experienced, and arguably more intelligent than the 21 years of age that was attributed to the lone gunman? Answer, he says, is easy. The manifesto is a hoax. It wasn't written by the individual actually arrested as the shooter. Number four, how does one man kill 20 people and wound another 30 with only a single magazine on his person that holds only 30 rounds? Ooh. Because the surveillance photo, look at it while you can, shows no chest rig, no battle belt, and no spare magazines. It does, however, show all the things the totalitarian state wants to ban, at least right now. Number five, if the lone gunman really was on a suicide mission, why does he bother to wear both eye protection and hearing protection? And wait a minute, doesn't he know about silencers? Why, if you believe the waste stream, every good jihadist ought to have some. Well, okay, well, the answer there is obvious, too. It wasn't a suicide mission at all. Why protect your ears if you're not planning on using them anymore? Don't you want to be able to hear if somebody sneaks up on you? Unless you already know your associates are clearing the area for you and making sure that nobody is able to shoot back. But hey, come to think of it, it would cover up your earwig and let you hear the instructions from your handler better now, wouldn't it? Oh, wait a minute. The FBI's probably declared us terrorists for even thinking such things. Some of the media chicanery that's already been exposed goes beyond the pale, too. Why, asked Adams, as a bonus question, was the shooter's online profile changed from what he really was, a registered Democrat, to a Republican and Trump supporter and QAnon follower, about the time that a few sleuths in the independent media, who haven't yet been totally banned, pointed out that that's precisely what it said? And yeah, there's still something called the Wayback Machine, so that you can go check and see what it said yesterday, even after they change it, if you know how to do it. And that's, of course, until the Ministry of Truth managed to shut down all of those websites, too. Meanwhile, though, they didn't get this one covered up in time. Zero Hedge reports that the Ohio shooter was a, quote, pro-Satan leftist who supported Warren, Sanders, Antifa, and communism. Surprise, surprise, surprise! Let me put it this way, folks. His socialist media pages literally looked like something that screamed, I'm a patsy here, come and recruit me. And notice, again, by the way, you're not hearing what kind of SSRI suicide and mass murder drugs either of these alleged lone gunman perps may have been mainlining. And furthermore, you know you won't. Finally, a little bit of logic. Often, folks, when I see really stinky false flags, I like to run a thought experiment or two. And while it's not too far-fetched to think that the kind of people both stupid enough and evil enough to try to pull something like this, or perhaps better put, to be talked into it by some handler, are probably at least a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic, and just might even be dumber than a gun-banning Congress critter. A lot of us, I'm sure, were thinking the very same thing when we heard about the so-called manifesto. Well, that and the fact that the shooters are all obviously inspired, says the waste-stream media and knee-jerk left politicos, but I repeat myself, by the racist, racist, racist president, who hates immigrants to boot and wants you to go out and kill them. So I guess it's fair to ask, come on, what kind of idiot, if he wants to kill a lot of immigrants, wouldn't go kill them at one of the occasional Cortex's concentration camps? Maybe while they're all queued up to drink out of toilets. Why, oh why, you'd have to ask, would you go kill a whole bunch of Americans at a quintessentially American store? The kind of place where, we're told at least, folks like you want to shop, Walmart. Wouldn't you instead actually target the target of your wrath, illegal aliens? Unless you thought Border Patrol agents might be armed, but since you know Border Patrol agents aren't allowed to shoot at illegal aliens, just pretend to be one of those. Well, you see the point, folks. Everything about the official narrative is not only stupid, it stinks to high heaven. And furthermore, you almost get the impression that the lone gunman never managed to read his own manifesto or even change his own Facebook page since he was already arrested by that time. It kind of feels a lot like Robert Mueller, doesn't it? Who didn't read the report that he spent $30 million and 2 years working on. And it's almost like all of these folks had the same set of handlers. Mike Adams' summary is a pretty good one, and it has the advantage of leading into his related follow-up piece. The official narrative clearly doesn't add up. It's more like staged violence, an event which combines real violence with a very fake narrative to achieve a specific and obvious political purpose. In this case, the goal is the continued complete disarmament of the American people. Oh, and while you're at it, blame Trump for everything and position illegals as the victim of the mass shooting, when in reality, it was instead Americans, primarily disarmed ones at that, who were actually targeted. And he follows that up with what he calls a bombshell report, headlined this way. Mass shooting events follow the pattern of FBI terror plots already documented literally years ago by the New York Times, also the Kansas City Star, not to mention others previously reported here, as agents recruit social media extremists, and in the mold of Marinus van der Lubbe, the addled patsy set up by the Nazis for the burning of the Reichstag to bring Adolf Hitler into full power, use them to further their deep state agenda. So yes, begins Mike Adams, the latest mass shooting events in gun-free killing zones that have rocked America over the last few days follow the typical pattern of, quote, FBI terror plots documented by multiple waste stream sources, just not recently. And the two shootings, he says, were initiated in the hours following the bombshell revelation that the FBI really did conspire with none other than Hillary Clinton and the Obama regime, the cast and crew of the Mueller witch hunt, and Bill's buddy on the tarmac there in Phoenix, then Attorney General Loretta Lynch mob, and a host of others still doing their dirty deeds from deep within the swamp, to destroy Clinton's email hard drives and eliminate any evidence of various high crimes, misdemeanors, and, yes, outright treason. Former FBI Director James Comey, he says, is known to have run multiple criminal schemes to illegally frame Trump administration officials while clearing their ilk in the Obama era as part of a clearly treasonous plot to literally overthrow the United States of America, defeat President Trump, and when that failed, frame the president and his supporters as domestic terrorists. And that effort is still in progress in spite of the Mueller witch hunt humiliation. So, bang, bang, as we saw over the weekend, it's time to up the ante, crank up the smoke, and change the subject. And yeah, grab the American people's guns, too, before it's too late. It now, says Adams, appears abundantly obvious that the FBI is in fact the most prolific terrorist organization in America, and this has been confirmed by the New York Times. Because under the Obama regime, continuing efforts that have been going on for literally years before, by the way, it was weaponized into a treasonous crime syndicate that routinely plotted and carried out acts of terrorism against the United States of America, all the while covering up damning evidence of criminality and treason that should have sent Hillary and her ilk to prison. At a minimum, folks. Yes, the FBI is running a massive coordinated psyop on America. The goal is to demonize Trump, all of his supporters, paint illegal aliens as the victims, and manage in the process to disarm and prepare the rest of us for what they've been planning for so long. And can you think of a more perfect time to do it than when the FBI is already on the ropes anyway? It looks like a whole bunch of nasty stuff might be exposed, so hey, let's pull a couple false flags out of the hat and change the subject. Before we continue, let's do a quick review of the stories Adams sets it up with, like the piece from the Kansas City Star in 2017 about how the FBI hatches the vast majority of terror plots in America that they then claim to stop just in time. Of course, that was then. I guess if you really need a distraction, like now, it's better to let them go ahead and complete the task. The piece by author Ian Cummings quotes Michael German, a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice and a former FBI agent himself, who says, quote, "What I get concerned about is where the plot is being hatched by the FBI. There's been a clear effort to manufacture plots." And the piece notes that of the 126 Islamic State-related cases prosecuted by federal authorities across the country since 2014, nearly two-thirds involved undercover agents or informants, according to the Center on National Security at the Fordham University School of Law in New York. It seems like more than a few FBI agents themselves think something stinks here. Here's the piece from David K. Shipler and the New York Times Sunday Review dated April 28, 2012, entitled Terrorist Plots Hatched by the FBI. Yes, once upon a time, the New York Times actually wrote stuff like this. The United States, it says, has been narrowly saved from lethal terrorist plots in recent years. Or so it has seemed. A would-be suicide bomber was intercepted on his way to the Capitol. A scheme to bomb synagogues and shoot Stinger missiles at military aircraft was developed by men in Newburgh, New York. And a fanciful idea to fly explosive-laden model planes into the Pentagon and the Capitol was hatched in Massachusetts. But all of these dramas, the piece continues, were facilitated by the FBI, whose undercover agents and informants posed as terrorists, offering a dummy missile, fake C4 explosives, a disarmed suicide vest, and rudimentary training, while suspects naively played their parts until they were arrested. And it gives example after example, asking the question, all of this is legal, but is it legitimate? Especially when, without the FBI, would the culprits have committed such violence on their own? Is cultivating potential terrorists the best way and the best use of manpower to find the real ones? Full stop. Okay, you get the picture, but I think the answer is, oh no, there's something else far more important and far deeper going on here. It's about cultivating terrorists and then not catching them until after they do their nefarious deeds so that we can use them for, well, exactly what we're seeing play out now. Not just gun control and Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, but a really convenient distraction right when it's most needed, because Americans might otherwise be waking up to the level of evil that's been permeating them, selling them out to tyrannical interests, and literally opening the doors to invasion from within and without for so long. The story that's being covered up now had to do with documented, undeniable evidence about the FBI and DOJ participation in the physical destruction of hard drives, bleach bidding to boot, and destruction of other evidence, all for the purposes of covering up treason. And hopefully by now it's obvious. The penalty for treason, folks, one of the few federal crimes actually enumerated in the Constitution, is, in fact, death. Is it any surprise, then, that they'd be willing to kill a whole bunch of people and keep on doing it to cover that up? And finally today, let's not forget that all of this really is about the almighty dollar and the biggest deception, arguably, in human history, which is also coming to a head in spite of the smokescreens. Here's a story from Zero Hedge. Global stocks crash. VIX, or the volatility index, surges. Europe tumbles as the currency war begins in earnest. What's the trigger? China finally struck back in its trade dispute with America, letting its currency plunge below the key psychological level of 7 versus the fiat U.S. dollar. Another headline puts it this way. Global currency war begins as Chinese yuan crashes to new record low. Markets tumble. The gloves are off. China is firing their big guns now. And by the time we got to the weekend, financial markets had had a pretty rough week, unless you're talking gold and silver, especially the real stuff, as opposed to the paper imitations, that still broke out above major key resistance levels. $1,500 for gold, $17 for a paper silver ounce. We're certainly not to October yet, or the inevitable popping of the biggest debt bubble the world has ever seen. But all of these things taken together do really demonstrate, again, why it's so important to change the subject from incredible levels of criminality in the highest so-called law enforcement in the land, and instead get people thinking about how those same crooked law enforcement officials need to be able to come and take your guns. Well, maybe your neighbor's guns anyway, because he's probably insane and likely a white supremacist too. And let's not forget, by the time people start really getting hungry, it's important to have that gun confiscation process well underway. So much for an election, folks. Did we end up with Hitlery after all? Just a couple of years later? We'll explore that in quite a bit more detail when we get back from the break via one of the most important and, yes, downright disgusting speeches that any president, but particularly the one who sold himself to the American people as he was going to come in and drain the swamp, lock her up, clean out the corruption, and restore, as opposed to complete the destruction of the Bill of Rights, that any president has tried to foist on a gullible America since George W. Bush himself enabled the recent coup with the Anti-Constitutional Patriot Act.
Patriot, color me red, white, and blue. Fellow patriots,
It took over 2 years, but it's about time we finally brought you this headline. The one the deep state has been working on so hard for so long, leaving no stone unturned, but leaving plenty of slime under the rocks, and of course being willing to kill all kinds of people to make happen. Hillary wins 2016 election, gun control on tap. And as it turned out, it didn't take votes at all. All it took was a bunch of human sacrifices. Yes, folks, I'm your host, Mark Call, and since the deep state has obviously taken off the gloves and intends to kill as many people as is necessary to bring about their agenda, there's no point in pulling any punches here now, is there? The false flags are ramped up, sleeper cells are next, and when the American people finally wake up to the fact that the economy is coming down all around them too, Katie bar the door. But honestly, if there's anything that I think ought to really upset the American people, it's the idea that the Messiah that they prayed for and voted for, I'm talking about Donald J. Trump, turns out not to have been the only way to the truth after all. Am I being too hard on him? After all, it was obvious he never did understand what shall not be infringed means. And in spite of some happy talk and a brief stock market rally and even a couple steps in the right direction, it's pretty obvious that nothing was going to fix the biggest debt bubble in history. It was bound to go sooner or later, and he simply stepped in it. And as for draining the swamp, well, pretty obviously he could sing that song too. I fought the swamp and the swamp won. My point today, folks, is not to pick on the president, even though there's plenty of room for disappointment, to put it mildly. And it's not like this show and some others that I've done on the network aren't all about blowing the shofar and saying come out of her while there's still time. Obviously, there's a sword coming upon the land. Some of it's coming across the southern border, but it's obvious, too, a lot of it is coming in uniform. Or in the case of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, in three-piece suits. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. I'll admit up front, some of it will be painful, especially for those that actually thought maybe this time would be different. Just maybe the president actually will, well, let's put it this way, stick to his guns and honor his oath before God to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution against all of those oh-so-obvious enemies, foreign and especially domestic, that are assailing it on every front. Maybe he'll even read that Constitution, even just the Bill of Rights. Well, one thing's for sure, folks, if there ever was a 4D chess game being played, President's speech Monday made it obvious he's no Bobby Fischer. And whether you saw it or not, it certainly merits some critical commentary this evening. Because there really is no bigger news than if America wasn't already basically dead, President Trump gave it a red flag double tap to the head Monday. So let me start with the first tap. Call it opportunities lost. Things that he had a bully pulpit and could have said, oh yes, they might have distracted from the appropriate teary-eyed demeanor that a dumbed-down America has come to expect in the wake of national tragedies that were about as predictable as the sun rising in the morning, especially when you gang-rape the rule of law and encourage more lawlessness to come on in and rise to the top all over the swamp. The biblical turn of phrase, of course, from Matthew 24 and other places, is lawlessness abounds. And that is pretty darned obvious. And Trump could have and should have said so. Hey, folks, this is what you get when you ignore the supreme law of the land and the law of God. Simple things like thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not steal. And Big Brother now encourages both. He could have said what some of us, including the president, are old enough to remember. Once upon a time, we had both God and lots of guns in school. I remember when kids brought their .22s, leaned them against the back wall of the classroom so they could go target shooting on the way home. We had guns in our rooms in college, ROTC on campus, and sanctioned intramural shooting. No rapes, no murders, and no violence. Guess what's changed? And the president could have and should have pointed that out. He prattled about mental health, and we'll get there. But I didn't hear him say a word about SSRI mass murder drugs, did you? And here's the other really big elephant in the room that you're not hearing a word about. Big Brother is foisting all kinds of death on the American people en masse. From genetically modified frankenfoods to what may be the most deadly technology ever crammed down the throats of the people of the world. Millimeter wavelength radiation, 5G, aka the pain ray, directed right where you live. So let me just ask all of this as a question. Do you really think that the kind of people who would serve up death on a platter like this and lie about it are even remotely about to tell you the truth when it comes to disarming you so that they can push all the rest of that right down your throats? And furthermore, if they're willing to kill hundreds of thousands with those technologies, albeit more slowly, do we really think they aren't willing to kill a few dozen to make sure you can't fight back? The truth is, the Civil War they're so hot for, and so well on track for, will almost certainly kill thousands of times more. This is what you get when you invite criminality, disarm the honest people, and literally set them up as pawns to be sacrificed in a chess game the president's already thrown. So, true confession time. I'll admit this up front, although maybe it's obvious. I read some of the reports about what the president was probably going to say, and I'll have to admit, that didn't surprise me, prior to watching the video. And I tried to watch it with an open mind. And there have certainly been plenty of clues, going back quite a while now, about what I've come to call the Trump cave. But it's a whole other thing, folks, to actually watch it. And realize just how massive this betrayal is. Was he really a sellout all along? Is it possible that Donald Trump we saw speaking yesterday was some kind of a body double? He didn't even remotely look like the guy that ran for president a couple years ago. Has he been given the toe-the-line-or-else lecture? Probably again. I don't pretend to know the answers to any of that. I certainly don't know the man's heart. But I can see the fruit, folks, and the fruit stinks to high heaven. But sadly, it really shouldn't surprise us. I've said this before, but here it certainly bears repeating. We've known this all along. The Messiah didn't come from Washington or even New York City. And until we realize where our salvation comes from, we're sure as hell not going to find it in red flag laws or feckless, oath-breaking politicians. And before I begin looking at the recording itself, I do have to introduce it with one more bit of irony. In spite of one of the biggest presidential cave-ins and sellouts in our lifetimes, the New York Times still doesn't give the guy any love. Courtesy of Kristen Taylor via the Gateway Pundit, not one but two headlines from Tuesday's edition of the Deep State paper of record, the New York Times. The first one, which you didn't see unless you were fast, was Trump urges unity versus racism. But evidently, goes the story, after a number of the people who want to take over for the tyrant-in-chief complained to the gray lady that their headline was too fair to Trump, the New York Times caved, I guess there's a lot of that going on today, and changed their headline. And in the process, injected a bit more lying to boot. Instead of saying Trump urges unity versus racism, it now says, assailing hate, but not guns. And of course, what they're really assailing is the American people and the Bill of Rights, but the New York Times could care less about that, as it would seem, does the president. He does at least start off with the right tone, even as he also does seem to buy into the official and clearly bogus narrative, hook, line, and sinker.
Good morning. My fellow Americans, this morning, our nation is overcome with shock, horror, and sorrow. This weekend, more than 80 people were killed or wounded in two evil attacks. One Saturday morning in El Paso, Texas, a wicked man went to a Walmart store where families were shopping with their loved ones. He shot and murdered 20 people and injured 26 others, including precious little children. Then, in the early hours of Sunday morning, Dayton, Ohio, another twisted monster opened fire on a crowded downtown street. He murdered 9 people, including his own sister, and injured 27 others. The First Lady and I join all Americans in praying and grieving for the victims, their families, and the survivors.
Now ponder this for a second. Do we really know that's precisely what happened? Oh, I know. That's the official story. There are certainly lots and lots of dissenters out there, including eyewitnesses who saw multiple shooters, and we've seen that before too. And just like at Parkland and Las Vegas and so many other scenes of gun-free killing zone, Big Brother-enabled mass murder, there are a lot of still unanswered questions, to put it mildly, and a lot of facts that stink to high heaven. From a lone gunman that did manage to remember to bring his eye and ear protection, but not his extra magazine or two, to a Walmart, for crying out loud, that can't seem to produce any decent videos or even photos of the alleged lone gunman. I know, the FBI got them all. We're used to that. They wouldn't want you to be able to see things you're not supposed to see now, would they? To socialist media profiles that keep changing in order to fit the evolving narrative. At least, that is, up until they disappear entirely. But since when is it case closed, and we know entirely everything that happened, Mr. President, especially given that, Haven't we seen some cases that have affected you personally where you couldn't quite trust things that high levels of, say, the FBI were trying to foist on people? A little bit more skepticism, at the very least, I would think, is in order, especially since it's supposed to be, yeah, sure, an ongoing investigation.
We will stand by their side forever. We will never forget. These barbaric slaughters are an assault upon our communities, an attack upon our nation, and a crime against all of humanity.
So why don't we treat it as such and arm ourselves against it and quit bending over for the kind of lies they're pushing, Mr. President? Honestly, folks, I'll admit it, lines like that may sound sympathetic, but they ought to draw our ire because it's a big lie being compounded by the failure to point it out. These people died because evil is running rampant, and good men have done nothing to stop it. They're even afraid to speak up and call it what it is. And that goes for you.
We are outraged and sickened by this monstrous evil, the cruelty, the hatred, the malice, the bloodshed, and the terror. Our hearts are shattered for every family whose parents, children, husbands and wives were ripped from their arms and their lives. America weeps for the fallen.
And prepares to see a whole lot more follow in those same deadly footsteps, folks. Because insanity consists of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. America needs to quit weeping and learn from its own history.
We are a loving nation, and our children are entitled to grow up in a just, peaceful, and loving society.
So what happened to the rule of law, Mr. President? Doesn't that matter just a little bit when it comes to creating a just society? When some people are clearly above the law and the law doesn't matter for all of those other deplorables for whom shall not be infringed means unless your masters say otherwise? Unless we feel like putting you on a red flag list?
Together, we lock arms to shoulder the grief. We ask God in heaven to ease the anguish of those who suffer, and we vow to act with urgent resolve.
Stay tuned, though, and we'll see what that really means. Hint, hint. It's not about returning to the rule of law, much less to the law laid down by the Creator in His Word.
I want to thank the many law enforcement personnel who responded to these atrocities with the extraordinary grace and courage of American heroes.
Quick aside here. Are we going to see any of those law enforcement professionals actually stand up and tell the American people the truth about what really happened in any of these shootings? Or are they so scared out of their you-know-whats that they keep their mouths shut so it can continue?
I have spoken with Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, as well as Mayor DeMargo of El Paso, Texas, and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, Ohio, to express our profound sadness and unfailing support. Today, we also send the condolences of our nation to President Obrador of Mexico and all the people of Mexico for the loss of their citizens in the El Paso shooting. Terrible, terrible thing.
Like Trump, the communist president of Mexico is also demanding more gun control in the United States, maybe so we can be more like Mexico, where 25,000-plus people were murdered this year in gun-free Mexico, with a whole lot of guns. But as we know, if you really want to have a gun fast and furiously in Mexico, you need to get it from one of the cartels or one of the people on the take among their federales, which some might suggest is almost the same thing. By some estimates, folks, and for obvious reasons, they probably don't include the Mexican official statistics, in allegedly gun-free Mexico, where for all practical purposes the peons are disarmed, but not so much the gangs and cartels, over 200,000 people have been killed in drug and gang-related crime over the last few years. Now, in fairness, I guess we have to point out that since the cartels don't have to worry about, for the most part, being shot at while they're doing their dirty deeds, a lot of those victims were beheaded with things like machetes rather than guns.
I have also been in close contact with Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Wray.
Well, that ought to inspire confidence.
Federal authorities are on the ground, and I have directed them to provide any and all assistance required, whatever is needed.
Which, of course, explains why you will not see any more video from any of these incidents.
The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online.
Are you really buying into that one, Mr. President?
Consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy.
Are they synonymous now, Mr. President? Are you so completely sold out that you're incapable of pointing out even the most blatant discrepancies here? This stinks just as bad as anything the Russians were alleged to have done, but didn't. And let's see, who was it feeding us that misinformation? And gee, aren't they still calling you a white supremacist and a bigot? Can we not see a little problem here, Mr. President? Or are we simply reading what we've been told to read?
These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul.
That's painfully obvious, folks. Sadly, it looks like hate is winning, and the president has completely caved into it.
We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need.
Well, let's see. They've already declared that anybody who even remotely thinks about believing a conspiracy theory that they don't approve of is a hate criminal. So some of that's obvious. They need more warrantless searches. They don't need to be slowed down by worrying about things like due process. They need their partners Gulag and Two Facebook to shut down any dissenting speech. And they need complete access to your profiles, too, just like the Communist Chinese Socialist Credit Score System, so they'll know who's even thinking about being naughty and not nice.
We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the Internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts.
And listen to that carefully, folks. Some of us thought he was actually going to stop the encroachments of freedom by those who run the Internet. Sounds like he's caved on this score, too. And if you thought Gulag was out of control before, just wait.
We must shine light on the dark recesses of the Internet and stop mass murders before they start. The Internet, likewise, is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes. The perils of the Internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored.
All right. I guess what he's saying there is that the First Amendment is just as much a dead letter as the Second.
In the two decades since Columbine, our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another, over and over again, decade after decade.
With more background checks, more gun control, more gun-free killing zones, and more of the obvious results.
We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion.
And here, folks, he missed the best opportunity of the entire speech. Here's what he should have said. And for that reason, I urge all Americans to understand the reasons why our founders wisely put the Second Amendment in place, and why it is that you should not be powerless, but you have the God-given, constitutionally protected right to keep and bear arms. Don't let anyone take it away, lest you should follow in the footsteps of Mao, Hitler, Stalin, and every other tyranny that's attempted to disarm the people and have their way with them. That's not what we heard.
In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people.
And no, he's not talking about those who fought and died for the Bill of Rights.
Open wounds cannot heal if we are divided. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner.
What a crock of bull. I guess I have to bleep myself here.
That will truly make America safer and better for all. First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike.
Yeah, I saw Minority Report too, Mr. President.
As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not?
Do you really want to hear the answer to that question?
Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace.
All right, but some no doubt see them as great screening tools.
Cultural change is hard, but each of us can choose to build a culture that celebrates the inherent worth and dignity of every human life. That's what we have to do. Third, we must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement.
Work for the Soviets. What could possibly go wrong?
Mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun. Fourth, we must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms.
Say what? If they pose that great a risk to public safety, what are they doing on the streets?
And that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process.
I guess somebody told him, hey, you better throw the word due process in there. Even if we're no more serious about that, then shall not be infringed.
That is why I have called for red flag laws.
Utterly, completely unconstitutional to the core, as they may be.
Also known as extreme risk protection orders.
Also known as theft, and probably the biggest unconstitutional infringement in our history so far.
Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty.
If we still had a Bill of Rights, the death penalty could be served out at the scene of the crime.
And that this capital punishment be delivered quickly, decisively, and without years of needless delay.
Or more gun-free killings on victims, like I just said.
These are just a few of the areas of cooperation that we can pursue. I am open and ready to listen and discuss all ideas that will actually work and make a very big difference.
We had them. It was called the rule of law.
Republicans and Democrats have proven that we can join together in a bipartisan fashion to address this plague.
That's just an outright lie.
Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases.
And we've seen how that's worked out.
At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks.
Asinine as banning a rubber toy was, shall not be infringed, be damned.
But there is so much more that we have to do.
Is he channeling Dianne Feinstein? Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in?
Now is the time to set destructive partisanship aside, so destructive, and find the courage to answer hatred with unity, devotion, and love.
Now is the time to quit pandering to lies and quit moving in the wrong direction.
Our future is in our control. America will rise to the challenge. We will always have, and we always will, win. The choice is ours and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us.
So why not get the mentally ill monsters out of the swamp, Mr. President?
If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain.
We had great legislation. It was called the Bill of Rights. And if they died so that could be stolen, not only did they die in vain, history shows that millions more almost certainly will.